and thank you for tuning in to Life, Love, Marriage, Divorce, the podcast. I have a very special guest with me today, and her name is Hallie Jones. Thank you for sitting at the mic with me, Miss Hallie.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Well, I'm excited to have you. So you are a sports reporter, and I wanted you to give me a little bit of your history of how you became a sports reporter.
Okay, so I went to school originally for political science. I thought I wanted to go into politics. I went to American University, and in DC there's a special major within the universities there that's called CLEG, and it stands for Communications, Legal Institutions, Economics, and Government. So those are like your kind of core areas, and then you can dive into one of those. So that's what I thought I wanted to do. And then once I was in DC and around that environment, I just kind of had the realization that I wouldn't necessarily enjoy being in politics, but I like the communication aspect of it. And then growing up around sports and being an athlete up until college, I really missed that area of my life. Mm-hmm. And so my dad always told me, you'd be really good at being on TV. I love football. So he was just like, you know, you could do that. And then once I got to college, I was like, okay, like, you can go to school to become that. And so then I transferred to the University of Colorado. I worked in the athletic department and sports information, which is more PR side, but I was able to be like the liaison with the athletes and the media, and kind of went that route. And then after I graduated, I took a job up in Wyoming for the ABC affiliate and covered the University of Wyoming and local sports.
So how was that experience living in and working in Wyoming?
It was hard. Wyoming's very small, and being just mixed race, it was just very different, especially coming from Denver, a faster pace. It was different, but sports-wise, it was a lot of fun, a lot of challenges. Wyoming's a very unique state, being that because it's so small, you really have the opportunity to talk and cover everything. Mm-hmm. Just because they are so secluded and don't really care about the national side of things. They really care about like the local. And so you got some really great stories out of it. But it was a challenge.
What was so challenging?
In TV, in the smaller markets, you have a smaller budget. So we didn't work with great equipment. Like, mm-hmm. This microphone is nicer than the microphone we had in our audio booth. I think that the challenges of just getting a show produced, and then also the management side of things, mm-hmm. just not really caring and or advocating for kids. Like, you have, in TV, it's all contracts, so we joke and say we are signing our life away, but you kind of are. Like, it was, yeah. I had a 2.5-year contract, and I was there for 2.5 years, and you can't really do much but then try and just leave there. But it was just challenging.
It was challenging. Okay, so if you have a challenge, mm-hmm. right, then you're going to have a success.
Correct.
So, you know, that's what life is, yeah. right? How you overcome certain challenges in order to become successful. When you walk away and you think about your experience in Wyoming, what was your greatest success?
I think being able to, so I wasn't one of the sports anchors, so I like just reported. So I wasn't the sports weeknight, I wasn't the sports anchor, and on the weekends I wasn't the sports anchor, but I knew that's what I wanted, and I wanted to be successful. And so I had to figure out a way to do that along with doing whatever I had to do during that day. And I think being able to then be named best sports anchor in the state of Wyoming, mm-hmm. was great. Like, I did not expect it. I didn't think I was going to win. And I kind of felt bad at first, but then you have to just be like, I worked super hard for it.
So why did you feel bad if you put in the work, right? You put in the hours.
I guess I just didn't think I would get it, so I think I was more shocked, if anything.
Yeah.
But I was able to pitch to our GM a show for high school basketball, and I think that's really what set me aside, because no other stations in the state was doing that. And mm-hmm. I think I was by far the only person who was reporting sports that played sports.
That played sports.
Which I think helped people actually care about.
I agree. I think it's kind of similar to an athlete who becomes a coach.
Yeah,
you have
absolutely.
A different perspective, right? Because you have a different experience, mm-hmm. being on the other side. And so it can make the reporting more authentic.
Yeah, right? And just kind of going a little bit deeper.
Right.
I don't think people watch local news to hear the highlights of a like high school basketball game. You know what I mean? Like there's more to sports reporting than just what you see on ESPN or Fox Sports about the highlights and someone giving their opinion. There's much more to an athlete than that, and that's what I really focus on.
And you could bring that to the forefront in that connectivity with that athlete and then being able to articulate that.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of that came with working in sports information and just knowing that I could gain a relationship with the athletes and know that they're going through a lot more than just if they won or lost a game or a match or something, and just their interests or where they came from. Like, there's so much about a person other than what's just on the field.
That's really good. I'm glad that you said that, because it really is. What is the saying? I think I bought my daughter, who you know, Sine, she says, oh, I want this shirt for Christmas. I'm more than an athlete, or more than an athlete.
Yeah.
And it is so much more.
Yeah. You know? I mean, as you know, you only have this sport for so long.
Yeah.
And some people don't even get to that level. And or just, especially Wyoming, like some kids just come from nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And they end up getting out and like going maybe not to like the best D1 school, but they go somewhere that's not Wyoming, and then they go on to being like the best wrestler. That's a very popular sport. Or even there's an athlete for the Mets who's from like Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you'd never think a baseball player would come from such a small state.
Right.
So I think there's just a lot that you can dive into within sports.
So that was a great experience for you. Now tell me, how did you fall in love with sports? Because you played basketball, but you've had an association with sports from being such a young girl. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so I mean, I almost have played every sport. I started, soccer was my first sport. Then I did basketball and volleyball. I ran track for a little bit. Did not like running, though. I was fast, but I just did not care.
That wasn't your thing?
No, and I didn't like being outside. So
yeah, that was it.
Yeah, Colorado, you learn very quickly that you have to be tough if you want to do an outdoor sport, because it can be super hot or it's freezing.
Right.
But I think just from the moment I was born, my dad being an umpire and working in Major League Baseball, that really, I loved that lifestyle. Of just being around something that's so fun and like something that brings together all types of people.
Everybody.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about sports.
Yeah.
It's sports and music that really changes the world and the dynamic of how we connect with one another. Because no matter who you are, you're going to cheer for your favorite sports team. I think I mentioned this one time to someone. It's like you go to a game, right? And you're cheering for your favorite team. And it doesn't stop just at that game. You take it to work tomorrow and you share it with your coworkers. You talk about it with your family. You look forward to it the next week. And it's something that sports does that nothing else, you know, can do with bringing people together. That's one of the things I love about it.
Once I started playing basketball, I think that's what I love the most. And I think that was the hardest thing being done playing is I missed that sorority, in a sense of just like being on a team. Like, I didn't know how to, I knew how to make friends, but I didn't know how to have that. Like, I love being on a team. I'm like such a team player in that sense. And so I think that was my favorite part of it. But then also just seeing my dad work in a sport, baseball, where it's very different and very, I mean, every sport's political, but baseball is extremely political.
Yeah.
And I was able to see not the player side of a sport, but like the front office side. And I think that's super interesting, and like trying to have other people understand the sports world is very hard.
It is.
And not a lot of people have insight to it either.
No.
So I think that's something that more people need to realize, that there's a lot going into it.
Well, what sets you apart as far as being a sports reporter? Because you have a lot of female sports reporters. Well, not as many as we would like, but we're getting better, right? And we'll talk about that in a second. But what sets you apart, in your opinion, from other people?
I think right now there's a huge influx of ex-female athletes becoming into the sports world. I mean, I think it's a great platform for ex-athletes to like stay within the sports world. But I think you then also lose, like, the personal touch to it. And mm-hmm. I'm not that person. So I think I am able to connect with athletes on mm-hmm. a completely different level than an ex-athlete can.
Right.
And bringing them closer back home to, like, their personal life and who they are. And I'm not going to try and talk like I know exactly what play they're doing or understanding or trying to relate to them. And mm-hmm. You have enough men do that, right. commentators, and now I think you're kind of having an influx of women doing that too. But right. I think just at one point we're going to need people who, like, aren't ex-athletes commentating on sports. And I think right now there's just a huge influx of that,
mm-hmm.
which is fine. But I do think you're going to need someone who can relate to everyone.
To everyone. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you definitely do that. I think yeah. you do.
I mean, I try.
Yeah, I think you do a good job. You do. What do you think about now when you talk about the influx of female athletes mm-hmm. Joining a more predominantly male profession for so many years? What are your thoughts about how things are improving? They're probably not going as fast as some of us would like, but what do you think about it now?
I think it's great. I mean, you have more females reporting on, say, the NBA and all mm-hmm. that. I do think the pay comes into it, though.
Right.
I mean, you can see that with the WNBA. You can see it with soccer
yeah.
and all of that. But I think women, we work really hard,
mm-hmm.
and I think our work ethic is very different than males within the industry.
Right.
And so I think we can see something going in the future. Also, I do think there's now more groups and conferences for women in
right.
TV, not just sports, but just TV in general.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think too many people are hating on each other. We're pretty close-knit
it
community.
Seems like,
I mean,
yeah.
you want everyone to be successful. If someone's
right.
successful before you, they're opening doors. So I think we're kind of seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's going to take a lot more from the leagues, be it football, baseball, basketball, whatever sport.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to need support from the leagues for
you
sure. And you need to get away from the superficial, she's a pretty girl, pretty face.
Right.
And
right.
get down to, okay, what is she talking about? What problems does she bring up? Because that's the thing about reporting is you can be a sideline reporter and be able to talk stats or whatever, but
mm-hmm.
there's other issues that you can dive into. I
mm-hmm.
think, like, Samantha Ponder does a great job with that,
mm-hmm.
along with, like, Maria Taylor. Her position's a little bit different, but I think there's enough female reporters that are being more investigative within sports.
Right.
Because that's the whole point of the industry is
right.
addressing a problem and then figuring out how to get it done.
And I think what's important, and I think it, in my opinion, it took too long for
mm-hmm.
the door to be open
100%.
To sports, female sports reporters. I think what the men didn't get is that a lot of women not only participate in sports, but
yeah.
they are fans of sports. They are the mothers of these athletes. And if you would have opened the door, and I say you, meaning that male, predominantly male industry, a lot sooner, just think about how many more people would have been engaged in the games.
100%.
You know?
Especially, like, football. Like, everyone,
mm-hmm.
It's such an interesting sport to want to report on because
yeah.
I think Michelle Fatoya says it best. Like, she knows, like, she can't call a game like someone like Tony Romo. Like, you
right.
know what I mean? Like, she'll never be able to, but that doesn't mean that her work ethic and her drive and everything
mm-hmm.
that she's done for the NFL should be unnoticed.
Right.
And I think we're getting there.
Well, yeah, slowly but surely.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to say this. I believe that as we talk about this issue with the pay discrepancy, when you say you put in just as many hours, the hard work, what is it with this issue where men feel that women should not have, I mean, what's your thoughts about it, the same pay grade? It's them. I mean, I wonder why is it that way?
Well, it's so frustrating because I don't think a lot of people realize, like, local TV, like, turn to your, like, local NBC channel. Those people are not getting paid as much as you think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sure they're pretty.
It's kind of like teachers, right?
Yeah, like it's
put in the work, but don't get all
the
pay.
Yeah, like local TV, you're not making six figures. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can, but now it's so different because people come in and out, and contracts aren't nearly as long.
Yeah.
Because I mean, some people in Denver that have been on TV my entire life, but they're slowly moving out, and now the markets are just so they're so different, and so. It's super competitive because everything's going digital as well. So I think the pay is just going, that's like the hardest thing. So many people come into this industry and so many people leave because they're just not making the money. Yeah. And I don't understand why there's that big gap within the pay, but it needs to change. But for it to change, the industry needs to change. Mm-hmm. Like you have to pay people and actually give good benefits because they're horrible right now.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it'll get better.
Yes.
You know, hopefully. You just keep doing a good job in engaging your audience and educating the audience as well,
exactly.
Because I think people want to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a good reporter to break down not just the stats and analytics of what have you, but to put those two things together, as you say, that your platform to bring not only what that athlete does, but who the person is and what it took to get there. So basically what I hear from you is that you're just trying to tell a story.
Yep.
Right.
And that's the best journalist is a storyteller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even if you're on the sideline of a baseball game or something.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like there's so many stories.
Yeah.
And that's what needs to be told.
Well, I know that you're going to be one of the top female reporters ever, and I will always watch you and support
you.
And like I said, it's for so many reasons, because you are in a relationship with my son Kari.
Yes.
Hello Kari, he's sitting here at the mic with us.
Hello world.
He's back again. And so Hallie is here with us. She's visiting from Denver, but she will be soon moving to Texas, and we're excited to have her. And she will be doing sports reporting in the College Station area. So for you Aggies and all you College Station and Bryan, Texas people, get ready for a beautiful new face to be on the air. And you're gonna fall in love with her just like we have. So I have Kari and Hallie here, and they are in a relationship, and it is a beautiful relationship. I'm being able to witness it. And I just wanted to talk to you guys about falling in love, and that this was a surprise. It just came out of nowhere, right?
Exactly. I was single the last podcast.
Okay. He was single the last podcast, which is true. And then this beautiful surprise came into all of our lives, and I wanted to talk to you about that. And I don't want to just call it young love, but I want to talk about new beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
Not only are you having a new beginning here, moving to Texas, got a new contract, a new job, but you meet someone that you weren't expecting to meet and having a new beginning that appears to me will be a forever lasting relationship.
It better be.
So give my audience the skinny, because this is life, love, marriage, divorce. We moved the divorce out the way. I already did that part. So we're looking for love. Yeah, you won't have to do that. Okay. So tell me what, I'll talk to Hallie first, ladies first. What is it about this young man that caught your attention?
I think the biggest thing for sure with Kari is he is super, super caring and protective, but his love for Christ is by far like the most attractive thing ever, and it's so important in his life, and it's so important in my life, and so I don't think you can really pass up someone who knows how important faith is and who's also has been through a lot through faith. It's not something superficial with him. He is a true believer, and I think that is by far why I love this boy.
And so, Kari, why are you so smitten with Hallie?
Well, I definitely think...
Don't say the same thing.
I'm going to say the same thing.
Okay, I'm just
the first thing that, like, was like, oh, whoa, hold on, let me fill this one out. Let me see about her is, I think your taste in music is like the first thing that was like, oh, whoa, okay. And like, knows from country to Whitney Houston to whatever just got released, all that. And then, I mean, definitely when she was like, oh no, we're praying together, and we just, once a day, now it's twice a day, we pray in the morning, we pray at night, and it's just something that, like she said, is very unique, and especially for our age, and kind of setting the standard and like the things that were set at before we even started dating was just already like, okay, like this is definitely something that's unique and special. And
you knew that from the very first moment.
Like,
how did you know this was different from your last relationship?
I think I've told my friends this. There's a difference between loving someone and being in love with someone. And I think definitely you just know. Like, there's a feeling and you just know. And like, everyone always would be like, oh, like when you meet that person, you'll know. Like, you just know. And I'm like, all right, yeah, whatever. Like,
yeah, I'm one of the people who told him that, and he did not believe me. I told him that there is a, when you find your soulmate, you will know. And how you will know you found your soulmate, and this is my definition of soulmate. Your soulmate is the protector of your soul. They would never want to see you hurt. They would always want to protect you and care for you and love you, and most importantly, respect you. That soulmate connectivity is something that is instantaneous, and you can't explain it, period. You can't explain it. So when you say, well, I met her and it happened like this and I can't explain it, it's different from when you meet someone and you say, well, she was so pretty or he looked so good, and you start making a list of your reasons. But when you say, when you look at that person and you're like, I can't tell you, I just know, mm-hmm. It's different. And that is what we all want, people, okay? that's what we want in life. It's few and far between that people will ever experience what you two experience. And that's a shame.
Yeah.
That's a shame, you know, because we get into relationships for so many, and I talk about this, you know, I blog about this all the time. We get into relationships based on societal pressures, family pressures. We think in our mind that we're supposed to be married at a certain age, or because our friends are getting married and we think that that's the next step for us. Or I call it the obligatory relationship, because I was with you in high school, and now even though we're not getting along, because that's the next step. And sometimes you don't really get to know who you are. But I think at this stage in life, with you having your career, with you going to law school and having your certain experiences, it's a different playing field, mm-hmm. because you have come to know who you are.
Yeah.
And you didn't need a Kari and you didn't need a Hallie to help you define who you were. Because one, if you come together already knowing God, there's only success. And I'm speaking to you audience as well, because if these two can do it, 24, right? They can teach us how to do it right. So I just wanted to put that out there, because I am a hopeless romantic and I want my kids to be extremely happy, and I always want them to find the person who they can't give a definition of why. They just know. And I knew it. I knew it instantaneously, the way you smiled, because I know you, because he's like my best friend too. Mm-hmm. I have to share him with you now. I'm okay with that.
Okay. He has to share you with me.
Yeah, that's okay. And I knew, and it's such a beautiful thing. Now, since you guys, because this is a fairly new relationship,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, it's moving like lightning speed, but when you know, you know, and you don't have to wait forever when you know. Tell me, What do your parents think? I mean, because you're like, okay, who is this boy you talking to right in Texas? What's going on?
I think my parents are honestly very happy. My dad is extremely protective, and I mean, I think the experience like, with Kari when he came to Denver was like everything I hoped for with my dad, just because, but Kari reminds me so much of my father, like, and the good aspects, obviously, but like just so much about my dad, and he's protective, he's driven, he dresses well, he has good style, but I think my parents, I think I'm at the age where they're like, they have to kind of let me do what I want to do, but also I was.
They trust you.
They trust me, and I'm genuinely so happy. And I mean, Kari came into my life when I needed something to smile about, and he's the reason I smile. And so I think my parents are more or less thankful. Don't know if they're exactly excited I'm moving to Texas, but they'll get over it. And it's okay. It's so that we can.
I will take good care of her, guys.
But no, I think my parents are truly happy and supportive. And him and my mom love to give me a hard time.
So. Even when I was like there last time, Denver, I left at like 6 a.m. on Monday, so I had to wake up at 5.
Yeah, we woke up early.
We woke up really early, and our parents were like, don't you leave without waking us up so we can stop by and give you a hug.
Oh,
my
that's
dad
a good
gave
thing.
Him a hug.
Oh, he's in now.
He's
all
in.
Right.
Shows that robot and gives you a hug. Not just a handshake.
In the wee hour in the morning.
In the wee hour. Oh, it was so. Okay, all right. It's all good.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, they love Kari. My grandfather remembers Kari's name, which. Bless his soul, that's impressive in and of itself. But my grandfather loves Kari, my cousins, almost, you met a good chunk of my family. Mm-hmm. I think just everyone knows he's very different than others that I've dated in the past. I mean, I haven't been in a ton of relationships by any means.
But you knew the difference too, immediately.
Yeah. And I think just, Kari's very humble, and I think that's important.
It is important. And
Kari's himself.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
It's her. She attributed that to mom.
Well, thank you. And you followed directions and instructions. And really, when you say God, I prayed and prayed and prayed over my kids every night. And I still pray for them. And so with God being the priority in my life, to be able to know and hear you say that, means everything. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. But that means everything, because I've always told Kari and the girls this. If I don't do anything in this lifetime, my main job was to introduce you to Christ. But it is your job to have a relationship with him, right? Because I want to be able to see you in heaven. And if I did that, then I did my job. For you as a mom, but more importantly, as a daughter to God, right? So, for you guys to set God as your priority and the foundation in your relationship, I know that God blessed me with a future daughter that I'm excited to have when that time comes, and
no
that.
Pressure.
No pressure, Kari. And that my son will always take care of you. And I know this because of how he takes care of his sisters.
Yeah.
Right?
You love your sisters.
Yeah, he loves his sisters.
Sisters and my mom and my group.
Yeah, so you're part of the group now.
I'm lucky.
Yeah. Well, we are too. And so I just wanted to have you guys on here just to be an inspiration, not to just hear it from my voice, because I can talk about it all day, right? But to hear it from you both, that real love exists. And it exists because you put God first. Yeah. And that's important, because sometimes, guys, to my listeners, we know that we don't always put God first in those relationships. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they don't last. Mm-hmm. So if we can prioritize then we can find that same kind of love prayerfully that you guys share. So we look forward to you coming to Texas real soon, and looking forward to just watching both of you soar and blossom. And one day, once you get married, then I'll be a grandma, but we'll come back onto the mic and talk about that. All right, signing out. Thank you both for sitting at the mic with Life, Love, Marriage, Divorce.
Bye, podcast listeners.
Thank you.
What a great interview with Hallie Jones. Hallie, thank you once again for sitting at the mic with me and sharing your perspective and your experience as a sports reporter. We know that you're going to do great things in the sports industry. Thank you once again. Also, thank you, as well as my son, for sitting at the mic and sharing your love for God and your love for one another. It is really inspiring that at 24 years of age that you two would find one another, that you know who you are, that you both put God first and have such a great love of family. And those are key elements to any successful relationship. And I know this relationship is meant to last. I think that we can all learn something from Hallie and Kari about the importance of keeping God first, because when you do, He works out every detail in life, in love, in career, and all the things that your heart desires and prays for. Thank you once again for listening to Life, Love, Marriage, Divorce, the podcast. I sincerely appreciate you. Have a beautifully blessed week. Until the next podcast, God bless.